اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. السلام عليك سيدي ومولاي يا رسول الله. السلام عليك سيدي ومولاي يا أمير المؤمنين. السلام عليك سيدتي ومولاتي يا زهراء. السلام عليك سيدي ومولاي يا إمامي الحسن. السلام عليك سيدي ومولاي يا أبا عبد الله الحسين. السلام على ابن خاتم الأنبياء. السلام على ابن سيد الأوصياء. السلام على ابن فاطمة الزهراء. السلام على ابن خديجة الكبرى. السلام على ابن سدرة المنتهى. السلام على ابن جنة المأوى. السلام على ابن زمزم والصفا. السلام على المرمل بالدماء. السلام على المهتوك الخباء. السلام على خامس أصحاب أهل الكساء. السلام على غريب الغرباء. السلام على شهيد الشهداء. السلام على قتيل الأدعياء. السلام على ساكن كربلاء. السلام على القتيل المظلوم. السلام على أخيه المسموم. السلام على علي الكبير. السلام على الرضيع الصغير. السلام على الشيب الخضير. السلام على الخد التريم. Dear brothers and sisters, let us go take a walk in the land of Karbala. Say salutations upon those martyred in the land of Karbala. As-salamu ala al-Husayn. السلام على العباس. السلام على علي الأكبر. السلام على القاسم. السلام على مسلم. السلام على حبيب. السلام على زهير. السلام على عابس. السلام عليكم سادتي جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أبناء الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين السلام على غريب كربلاء السلام على المظلوم الشهيد السلام على الغريب الشهيد Salutations be upon you, O stranger in the land of Karbala. Salutations be upon you, O oppressed in the land of Karbala. Salutations be upon you, O martyred in the land of Karbala. Dear brothers and sisters, imagine Imam Hussein alayhi salam standing all alone in the land of Karbala on the day of Ashura calling هل من ناصر ينصرنا هل من معين يعيننا Who is there to help us and aid us يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما Together call with me غريب حسين مظلوم مظلوم حسين شهيد شهيد حسين One more time غريب غريب حسين يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما صلوات على محمد وآل محمد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له والصلاة والسلام على حبيب قلوبنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي Dear respected brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The Almighty Allah says in the Holy Quran, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوات Dear respected brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you again for coming tonight and supporting the mentioning of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, reviving the words of Ahlul Bayt salamullahi ta'ala alayhim. As we have been working in the past few nights on building a kind of a vision for the community, but a vision that is inspired by the individuals that carry on this community, you and I. No matter where I'm at, no matter where you are, you are not only as a follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, part of this community, the community of Idara Ja'fariya. You are part of a greater community. You are part of the community of Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman, al-Imam al-Mahdi al-Muntadhar ajalallahu ta'ala faraj al-Sharif. It's important to realize that being part of such a great community, numbers don't matter. Location doesn't matter. You know what matters the most being part of this community? Is the person who is leading this community. The power of this leadership, that even while we don't see him, his presence is felt. While we don't talk to him, his words are inspiring. While we don't sit down with him, his actions are felt in our lives. The choice, though, is ours to decide to listen, to see, to move forward behind that banner. It is so powerful, this leadership of his, the 12th holy Imam salamullahi ta'ala alayhi. This leadership, it brings us together. This leadership moves us forward. And it has a structure. And the structure is based on how we as individuals form our groups, form our gatherings around the mentioning of Ahlul Bayt salamullahi ta'ala alayhim. It provides us that beating heart. It provides that energy. It provides that spirit. Don't underestimate the power of the name of Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman alayhi salam, dear brothers and sisters. The problem that we have as we live through our lives is our disconnect from Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman. Our disconnect in our daily lives. When he is not the center of our work. When he is not the standard of our actions. When we do not realize that he is aware of everything we do. Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman alayhi salam, if you have that mindset that he sees what you do, he is aware of what your actions are, dear brothers and sisters, that will change your life. One of the most important things that we can change our lives is based on this statement, based on this rule. Think about it. Take it with you. Take it with you. It's very important. Rule number one, he is with us every single moment of our lives. His reach is within our hearts. He sees us, but do we see him? The moment you start thinking of him, and this is not something so you spiritually are uplifted. This is a reality. The more you see this as a reality in your life, in my life, the more our lives will be changing. Our biggest problem, dear brothers and sisters, it's not the way that we lack anything other than our awareness of Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman alayhi salam. This is the most important problem that we followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam feel today and are going through today. our disconnect with Sahib al-Asr wal-Zaman. Look at this crowd today. I guarantee you, if each and every one tonight puts the effort, men and women, to mention Sahib al-Asr wal-Zaman alayhi salam, to remember Sahib al-Asr wal-Zaman, our 12th living holy Imam alayhi afdalus salatu wassalam, who is living amongst us, who is seeing us, who feels for everything we go through, as a community we will grow with that one thought, with that one feeling, with that mentioning of him. Let us recite Allah salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad and rise for the mentioning of Sahib al-Asr wa Zaman and move forward together. Salawat. As we have been addressing the growth of this community and the pillars of this community, starting with the youth and with the young generation, I have been giving you in these past nights the ways that we, methods that we can grow this bond together. Dear brothers and sisters, these youth, the young men and women, at the end of the day, they have desires, they have needs. It is not right that we expect them not to fulfill these needs. It's completely, outrageously rejected to say that a young man and a young woman should not fulfill their needs. But there are extremes. We don't kill the need and we do not let it loose. There's a balance in how you control that desire and that need. You and I, we all have these needs. You and I, we think about these needs. You and I will try to explore and will try to push the different limits to reach and to fulfill these desires. The problem is, we need to be very careful that we are within the permitted amount of what is allowed to us at our age, at our time, and with what we have. Let me explain. Each one of us, dear brothers and sisters, is born with an innate. This feeling, this innate, this knowledge, dear brothers and sisters, that we start exploring. We all want to be perfect. We all want to be better. No one wants to be a bum and a loser. No one wants to say, oh my God, I'm going to fail. Alhamdulillah, mashallah. You don't expect anyone to do that. There's something wrong. Collectively, we agree, whoever says or does that, there's something wrong with him or her. We want to be the best. We want to accomplish things in our lives. Innately, it's built in us. Innately, when we see something good, a young child, an infant is in pain, we all want to make sure that this pain is lifted from this young infant. Right or wrong? It's something that is built in each and every one of us. When we're hurt, we want to push that hurt away. When we're scared, we want to defend ourselves. These are things built in us. Allah Azza wa Jal provided us this raw material of thoughts and ideas and actions. As we grow, we realize them. But then we want to build on them. We want to explore them further. Take those raw materials and understand them well, and take your children, who are whom? What did we say? The children are whom? It's not only my son and my daughter. It's all the youth in my community. Whoever I can reach out and change. Understand that raw material that he comes or she comes with, and then try to deal with it in a delicate manner. Because he or she will explore. First of all, you need to inform them, educate them about what is out there. Some of us think the more we hide, the less they know, the better we protect them. That's completely wrong. Today, dear brothers and sisters, information is available everywhere. So we need to take the initiative to understand the needs in reference to what? To the age. What are they thinking about? How are they feeling? And what is it that they may want to explore? And the best way to do it is to sit down and talk to them, and you yourself learn about that age group. Now, it is important to realize the young man and young woman at that age is interested firstly and most importantly in one thing: in exploring and discovering him and herself. That's why they love to experiment. They love to try things out. They love to see what could happen. How does it feel? How would it feel? What can be done to repeat that feeling? What is it that can be done to experience something like this? So they start exploring things, experimenting with things. Because remember, Allah Azza wa Jal says this nafs, this soul that He gave you, He inspired you with its needs and whatever is harmful to it. So in Nahj al-Balagha, the commander of the faithful Ali ibn Abi Talib salamullahi ta'ala alayhi, he tells you the following. This is what he did with his son Al-Imam Al-Hasan alayhi salam. And he tells us this wasiyah, this will, so you and I can learn what we do with our children. وَأَنْ أَبْتَدِعَكَ بِتَعْلِيمِ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَتَأْوِيلِهِ, that I should initiate you with the teachings and the learning of the book of Allah and the meanings of its words. The first thing, which brings me to an extremely important issue in most of our communities, this is not only in this community, or it's most of our communities, Arabic communities, Persian communities, Indian, Pakistani, Afghani, everything, most of our communities today, they have this issue. Listen to me attentively. And please forgive me if I cross my lines with you, but someone has to address this issue head on. Let me, before telling you the problem, give an introduction, a brief introduction. If I live in a family, in an environment, until I gain some kind of experience and knowledge, I will not be able to push that knowledge and spread that knowledge. Sometime in the generations that you have, in your lineage, one person has to take a leap and put the effort, do what no one else before him or her did, so he or she can raise the level of their surrounding. If all of us are good with having high school diplomas, we'll always have the highest level. Our expectation, wow, you have a high school diploma, great, you achieved so much. Until someone gets the bachelor's, wow, they set a new level. Then the master's, great. Then if the standard becomes to have a PhD, a young child grows up with the idea and the thought that at the least I have to achieve what? A PhD. If I do not achieve it, there's a problem. I am missing something. See, you're putting the standard, you're installing the standard. It is your job to set the standard, and therefore you will be setting the expectation. For someone to do just one thing, oh, I am skilled with this, oh, mashallah, it's like he opened China. No. We need to be very talented. We need the least that we have as individuals in a community. We are so multi-talented with so many skills and so well-educated. I know a family that at least the least of them, the one who's considered the loser, has 2 bachelors and 3 masters. He's considered a loser. They look down at him. Imagine how high of a standard that the parents set for their children. Right or wrong? So far, so good. They're saying, oh my God, now what is he expecting of us to do? I expect a lot. You know why? Because we can do it. Let me tell you. And Imam Islam says, the first thing I want to start teaching you is Quran and is tafsir. And then the legislations of Islam and its rulings, the halal and the haram. See what he's saying? Now let me address this issue of learning the Holy Quran. You know the biggest problem I see? Allow me, and you know I'm one of you. I'm one of you. So allow me to push. Most of the time I listen to the ziyarat being recited. And most of the time there are great mistakes. You change the meanings. The meaning is wrong when you recite the ziyarat. And this is not only in here. In a lot of places around the nation, when someone is reciting the ziyarah, actually they don't realize it, but indirectly, without them realizing the words used, they're insulting the imam. Do you believe this? They're saying words wrong towards the imam. And this is very common, unfortunately. And when you want to correct it, Sayyid Mawlana, he's still trying. Okay, you don't try by swearing, by putting downs, and someone like an imam, but without you realizing. Why, dear brothers and sisters, when you let it go, when your Arabic is recited wrong, you will end up carrying on the wrong message. Because one day or another, this child of yours, this youth of yours, may recite a ziyarah to a stranger, and he will be baffled. Why is he talking like this about his imam? This is a ziyarah. As when you come to the Holy Quran, La ilaha illallah. One thing I want you to do, and I hold the directors, inshallah, to put the most attention on this. Learning the Holy Quran. And doing a great job, not just, oh mashallah, he knows how to read Surah Al-Fatiha. Really? You're happy just for reciting Surah Al-Fatiha? We have others memorize the Holy Quran, all of it. I'm not asking you to memorize the Holy Quran, but pronounce it first right, but more important than pronunciation. You know what it is? You know what it is? Understand the meaning. Which requires you to learn Arabic. Listen, I told you before, I really don't care about Arabic or Arabs. Only for one reason. It is the word of Allah Azza wa Jal. That's what made it the best language. And by the way, there's a power in the Arabic language. It affects the way you think. It helps you, because Arabic and how a one word can be explored in many different ways, and how the word can have too many derivatives, it changes the way you think, the way your mind works. And you will realize further on that Arabic as a language helps your mind to expand the way it thinks in ways it will help you in everything else. Which means, let me be very frank with you, learning it should be your highest priority. And our standard of success and failure is based on our learning and how well we are learned in the Quran. Now you're calculating your time. Oh, I really don't have time. Seriously? Seriously, you tell me you don't have time to learn the Quran and learn it perfectly? This is the word of Allah. Let me give you an example. You're about to go meet President Obama. Okay? It's an important meeting, right? How many of us say, I don't care, I don't want to meet him? Well, when you want to meet him, don't you want to understand what did he say, what did he talk about? Don't you want to read about him, read his work, understand some of the latest things, so you can have what? A conversation. A dialogue. You have to have a way to have a dialogue with someone. What is it you need? You need everything from your Creator. Your Creator set up ways for you to think, set up ways and means for you to communicate with Him. Wallah, I wonder people why they complain. This world, this life, I don't know how this life functions. Of course you don't know. You know why? You're not putting the time and effort to deepen your understanding of the Holy Quran and reflecting on the words of Allah Azza wa Jal. We talk about it so much, but I tell you, I will tell you, I know it. In one ear, out the other ear. The Quran is a teacher. The Quran is full of knowledge. But how can I understand the Quran when I don't put the time to understand the language of the Quran? Don't you think if Allah Azza wa Jal wanted it to be in English, He would put it in English? Wanted it to be in the language of the thought, He would put it in the language of the thought? He put it in Arabic because the thought will be matured and will grow based on that language. So put the time and effort. The best thing you can do is to create the best institute, the best classes in learning and teaching Arabic here. So each and every member of the community is a learned member in reciting. Because once you learn the Quran, I tell you, you are so far away from knowing some of the treasures of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. A few days ago, I was talking to some people and I was talking about, you know, have you read this dua? Have you read that supplication? No, I don't know them. Learning in English and knowing English language is good, but the Arabic language, that's where the treasures are. That's where the Quran has its meanings. We need to put the time and effort. Which means what? Let me tell you. Don't we? One of the biggest things that we all want to have is what? A great memory, right or wrong? Right or wrong? Do you know of the different programs they have on TV to strengthen your memory? You can take this drink, you can do this, you can... Right or wrong? Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam gave us the best discipline for memory. Wallah, and I say, by Allah, it works. Recite Quran every day. Recite Quran just... The recitation of Quran, you looking at the words, you reflecting on the words in itself, it will increase and help you with your memory. Number two, you want your life to be blessed? Read at least 10 verses every single day. It changes your life. Wallah, it changes your life. I don't know how can I convince you that your lives, all of our lives, and therefore all of our communities. See, why do I want all of you to do this? See, when you have a good life, you have a good life, you have a good life, and you're blessed through the words of the Holy Quran, I'm blessed through the words of the Holy Quran, more efforts, more blessings will come to me, will come to each one of us when we live as a community under the umbrella and the words of the Holy Quran. So why don't I try to encourage you? The problem is, wallah, it's such a great treasure, but we just walk away from it. And I know, as much as I try to emphasize on it, wow, mashallah, we have a great book. Okay, and then what? It's the action, the practice. Download. Today there are so many different tools on your iPad, on your iPhone, or your Android. There is the Quran reciter, there's the Quran meanings, there's everything you can learn. Dear brothers and sisters, I have seen it with individuals. Young men and women who were completely had no clue how to pronounce a word of Arabic. In less than a month, they worked every single day for 2.5 hours. Within less than a month, they were able to recite every single word in the Quran with no mistakes. 1 month, and it's very simple. You look, you picture the letters, you pronounce the letters, you learn the letters, then you pull them together, then the vowels, then the words, then how do you pronounce it together as a verse? You put Abdul Basit, You listen to him. You look at the words. You listen to him. You look at the word. And let me give you another secret of the Quran. You believe in God or not? Okay, only three or four said yes. What about you, the rest of you? Do you believe in Allah or not?
Yes.
Do you believe in His words or not?
Yes.
Allah, He says in the Holy Quran, when you recite, will help you. Will help you. The problem is, we do not try. But the moment you try, and you'll be tested. At the beginning, you'll be tested on your patience. Why? So you can prove to yourself how true you are to that commitment. And then it will change. It will change your life, your wealth, your mind, your family, everything in you. I don't understand. Allah is giving you a treasure and telling you, here, it's open. Put your hands and take out of it. No, I don't want. And what do? Look at us. Look how there's a problem with us. We go work 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week to try to get some money, little money, so we can buy few things that we consider them our wealth in this life. Yet Allah is saying, I can give you faster way, better way. Just read the Quran, recite the Quran. Learn. Once you put that effort, once you put that energy, everything in your life changes. وَشَرَائِعِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَأَحْكَامِهِ. Then, the book of Islamic laws. Know your halal and haram. Know what's najis, what's tahir. Know what is, how you should go to the bathroom and clean up. Yes, yes, when we go to the hajj, and I see some of the adults and the elderly, it's, oh my Lord, how have you been praying all your life? Their prayers might be something wrong with them, the way they perform wudu. Al-ghusl. I know some people, they're adults. They don't know what is ghusl. What do I have to do ghusl for? Really, you don't know? You don't know after you've been with your wife that you have to wash up and complete the ghusl? Then your prayers are wrong. There are some essentials you need to learn. And let me tell you, you know where the biggest tragedy? Our businessmen, our entrepreneurs. Do you know if your business is halal or haram? Do you know if your transactions are halal and haram? There are rules and laws. Some of us don't realize that we have obligations in our money. And then we go to our religious dues. The zakat, the khums, and etc. All of these. Let me tell you, you don't pay your khums or zakat, you're hurting, you're fighting Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Don't cry on them, and then there is khums in your money for them. Khums is an obligation on all of you. You need to think about all of this stuff. More importantly, dear brothers and sisters, when you do any business today, any profession, there's a halal, there's a haram, there's a must, there's obligations, there's permissible, non-permissible. You need to understand. The more you try to understand what happens, you're furthering your knowledge of religion, the law, the do's and don'ts. Fi Wasa'il Shia, this a great encyclopedia of hadith, it is narrated that Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam said, من قرأ القرآن وهو شاب, whoever recites the Quran while he's youth, اختلط القرآن بلحمه ودمه. Quran is mixed with his blood and flesh. That is powerful. Why? One day, this Quran, these words will pull him back from the haram. You think words go without an effect, but we need to push ourselves to do this. In addition, in Al-Kafi, Al-Shaykh Al-Kulayni, who is one of our great scholars in Islamic sciences, he put one of the most important books of hadith called Al-Kafi. It's considered one of the major four books of hadith. He narrates on Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, and he says, the young plays for 7 years. Then he learns how to write for 7 years. Then he learns the halal and the haram for the following 7 years. 7, 7, 7. Dear brothers and sisters, Shaykh al-Tabrasi, in his very famous tafsir of Quran, Majma' al-Bayan, he says, as he narrates on behalf of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seven people will be shadowed by the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal on the Day of Judgment, where no one else will shadow them. And nothing else but his shadow will be useful. A just imam, a just ruler, and a young man and woman who was raised in worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. That worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, the problem over time, it deteriorates. See, some of us do a lot of work when we're young. But as we grow, we change this work from the closest to Allah Azza wa Jal to it's something that's my status in the community. I do it because through this I have some authority in the community. Through this I can tell people do and don't. The intent is important to always keep it seeking closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal. And you'll see it in the way we provide services. No matter where you're at, I'll tell you something very unique about this center and this community. One of the things that gets my attention about this community, you don't find it in many communities. No matter how much you make, no matter what position you have in your professional life, I see the different individuals do things that truly please me. And I know it pleases Allah Azza wa Jal because it's the right thing. No matter how much your income is, no matter what your position is, no matter what your degree is, you will do whatever job is required of you to make sure this gathering is functioning. Whether it's setting up the traffic, the parking lot, cleaning around. By the way, this is very humbling experience. It's very good. There is no, I am the director or I'm the president. No. Alhamdulillah. I don't see it and I hope it never shows up. And you know what I love also furthermore? Anyone that comes here, it's great. I don't see, here we have different ethnicities and different backgrounds. And they're all welcomed here. Alhamdulillah, and it's a great thing that I see. That you're not sitting here because you're from this village, or from this country, or from this ethnicity, or from this color, or from this race. It doesn't matter. We're all here, why? Because this minbar is like the Kaaba, is like the Mecca for us, and we all roam around it. No matter what race, ethnicity, or background you are. Because we... The more you keep this, the more powerful of a community you'll become. Because we all go around the minbar saying, Ya Hussein. Dear brothers and sisters, that is why it is important to encourage that spirituality, to encourage that worship, to encourage this connectedness with Allah Azza wa Jal. In Safinat al-Bihar, the author, Sheikh Abbas al-Qummi, narrates on behalf of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, and he says, if I catch one of the youth members of the Shia community not well groomed with the halal and the haram of Ahlul Bayt, I would punish him. Wow. The Imam saying, if I catch one youth who is not learning the halal and the haram of Ahlul Bayt, I would punish him. لأوجعته. Now ask yourself, how much do you know of the practical code for your marja? How much have you spent time learning it, reading it? Do you actually have lectures and classes here to teach it or not? If you do, great. If you don't, make sure you establish it. Because our imams requires us to do that. We cannot, let me make it very clear, dear brothers. One of the things that I'm trying to get across in these few nights, we cannot talk about what the imams require us to do and shed the tears on them, but yet we ignore this. We cannot do this. And I cannot be one who says, we need to do this, we need to do that, but yet we don't do it. So we start with those leading the efforts. We start with those who are responsible for the efforts. Dear brothers and sisters, it's our responsibility to learn the fiqh of Ahlul Bayt, especially at the youth, to learn Quran, to invest. You know, it is narrated in Mustadrak al-Wasail that he says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, woe unto the children at the end of time from their parents. His companion said, O Holy Prophet, are their parents disbelievers? He said, no. It's not their parents are disbelievers. It's from their believing parents, because they do not teach them the rules. They do not teach them the religion. And when they learn, they try to stop them from practicing it. See, we may say, oh no, alhamdulillah, I let my child do what they need to do. How much do you freak out if your child wakes up at night and tries to pray? I have parents that called me, Sayyidina, my child is getting a little bit too extreme. I'm like, exactly what is he doing that he's extreme? Because nowadays, you become a little bit religious, oh, that's extremism. No. Listen, that's fundamentalism. Oh, you put a beard. Oh, God, what is he going to do? Fly back to Syria now? No. You got to be careful. Hold on. The beard is required. You have to, like the hijab is required. I thank my sisters who are trying to be modest as they come to the idara. Good thing now they don't see me, else they may have just do something else. But thank you for coming to the idara. Thank you for being modest. But I'm sorry, when you dress, you cannot have your sleeves up to here and consider yourself wearing a hijab. You cannot be putting all the makeup and consider yourself putting the hijab. That's not acceptable. Don't fool yourself and saying, this is my hijab. No, hijab is flowing. It's flowing, non-fitting, non-form-fitting clothes. Hijab is not putting things on your face to make sure you're attracting men to look at you. Hijab is making sure that everything is well covered. And there's a way to do it. Allah did not leave things open, do whatever you want, and then feel good about yourself. No. And you know what hurts me the most though? It truly hurts me when I see sisters who did not yet get to the car and they move their hijab. Why? Why? Allah wants to put this modesty on you. Why do you take it off? It's not modern enough? Sayyidah Zainab a.s. was not modern enough for you? Lady Zahra was not modern enough for you? You think this will be gone without, on the day of judgment, you'll be reminded for it? Don't give me excuses. Just say you're weak. That's it. Just say you're weak and you're not able to do it now. But that's not good enough. Exactly the same thing with the guys. By the way, the hijab is not only for the woman. There's a hijab for the men. The way that you dress, the way you walk, the way you talk. They're all the same. It's about modesty and how we do it at a young age, dear brothers and sisters. Because here, Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, as narrated by Al-Kulayni, he says, بَادِرُوا أَحْدَاثَكُمْ بِالْحَدِيثِ. Talk and make sure you teach your young, because if you don't, someone else will go to them and teach them. See, dear brothers and sisters, Al-Imam Amir al-Mu'min Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam declares it clearly. Listen to this hadith and apply it. Listen to this hadith. Because, especially for my sisters, when I see them, they're trying their best. But maybe they don't know. They don't know how the hijab should be worn. Half of their hair is showing. They're not wearing appropriate. Or my brothers, when they wear these tight jeans, and it's... I don't understand. Don't they realize this is wrong? The tight dresses. No, you're not allowed to do that. When you want to show your things that are private, only you should show them at the privacy to those who are permissible for you. Period. Think a few times before you go out. Think how you're dressed. Think how you're trying to beautify yourself and why. Is this the modesty? Don't take these things lightly. Why? You will not feel it maybe right away in you. You'll feel it in your children. When your children start doing things because you set the standard for them, don't blame them, blame yourself. It starts with not modest and then slips to doing everything wrong. Inshallah though, we hope that everyone is trying to learn. See, Imam Ali alayhi salam learned this from him. He said, كُلَّمَا زَادَ عِلْمُ الرَّجُلِ. Whenever a person's knowledge increases, زَادَ عِنَايَتَهُ بِنَفْسِهِ. He will take more care of himself. وَبَذَلَ فِي رِيَاضَتَهَا وَصَلَاحِهَا جُهْدَهُ. And he will spend more time in disciplining himself. Start with giving knowledge. Start with giving understanding, with giving ideas. Start with exploration of the mind. Dear brothers and sisters, it is absolutely necessary in order for us to create a modest environment. I know we have problems. I know we have issues. Whether it's regarding drugs, alcohol, gambling, whether it's the misuse of different material, different things, whether it is the different, the relationship with the opposite gender, whether it is even with faith. You think we don't have a serious issue that has to do with faith nowadays? Let me tell you, across the board, across the nation, and you're not excluded, we have young men and women slipping into atheism. Or no, the cured, I'm agnostic. Really? Explain to me what it is. They don't even know what it is. It sounds good. It sounds cool. They think they're going to look cool by saying that. Why? In a lot of times, we just forced information on them. We did not teach them ideas. Learning is when you teach the youth ideas, when you give him things or give her things to think about, they will take the time to reflect on. Dear brothers and sisters, it is absolutely necessary to realize that this is our responsibility. I gave you today several things to reflect on. A responsibility. It's on you to tell me right now that you leave without thinking at the least about your relationship to the Holy Quran. How much time and effort you're going to put in to read and understand the Arabic language and then the Holy Quran. And then you can expand to different text and different material. And then how will you do it as a group? And how will you start teaching the knowledge? How you will start learning the knowledge? All your responsibility. Let me just say something. A few more things here. Sometimes we want to talk about things a little bit more sophisticated. I'm totally against talking about very sophisticated things when the basics are missing. You want me to give you a few lectures in theology, in theosophy, in ilm al-usul, in fiqh, and completely make you feel like you have no idea what's going on, and wow, it's great, and all this and that? I can easily do it. But what's the use when I see there's basics that are missing? What's the use? What's the use if we try to explore and understand the details of the history when the basics are missing? Dear brothers and sisters, we need to build the basic back into our community. Let's take hold of it. Let's build it correctly. Here, I have given to you all what Ahlul Bayt are telling us. We have a problem when one of us wants to lead prayers. Dear brothers and sisters, I wonder how many people can recite the prayers correctly without a mistake in their pronunciation. And in the rulings, you have to try your best. And then you grow on not trying, not knowing how to pronounce the words right of Al-Fatiha and Qul Huwallahu Ahad. That's a problem. And I'm sorry that I'm saying it because no one wants to say it. So make these things your priority and you will see how everything else follows through and will work out. Imagine this. You walk in and there are circles of groups trying to learn. People trying to teach one another. That learning and knowledge becomes the priority, the most important thing, the thing to do. It's not what you wear, it's not how you dress, it's not what you have, it's not your house, it's not the car that you... none of that, it's the knowledge that you have. And you come in circles, you teach one another. Have you read this book? Have you read this passage? Have you read this paragraph? Have you read this ziyarah? You know, one of the most important ziyarat ever is ziyarah al-jami'ah. His Eminence Grand Ayatollah said, Ayy Sistani, it's narrated that he said one time, it is more important that you read a ziyarah al-jami'ah as a group Thursday night. You can read Dua Kumail at home, alone. But read a ziyarah al-jami'ah. Have you explored a ziyarah al-jami'ah? And there you'll understand why we love Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Dear brothers and sisters, we gather tonight because we want to mention Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. We want to remember Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Dear brothers and sisters, tonight is the night we remember the first martyr from Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam in the battlefield of Karbala. In the land of Karbala on the day of Ashura. They say when the son of Imam Hussein alayhi salam came up to him, it was Ali al-Akbar and said, Imam Master Hussein, permit me to go and fight. Allow me to go and fight in the battlefield. They say Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he looked at Ali al-Akbar in front of him. Dear brothers and sisters, come with me to Karbala. Listen to me. Listen to me and try to understand these words. When Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam stood before his father Imam Hussein, he looked at his father. His father could not hold his tears. They were coming down. His father, Imam Hussein, as he was thinking about his son Ali al-Akbar going to the battlefield, يقل لو داعت الله يا عيوني نيتكم وحيد تخلوني. The love of my heart, pearl of my eyes, you plan on leaving me, you're going to the battlefield. Imam Hussein alayhi salam turned, he raised his arms to the heavens and said, Oh Lord, witness that this young man, whenever we miss the Holy Prophet Muhammad, we would look at him and remember him. He is going out to fight in the battlefield of Karbala. They say Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, his eyes were on Ali al-Akbar as he was fighting in the battlefield. On the other hand, who was watching what is happening to Ali? His mother Layla. They say Layla could not look at Ali al-Akbar, but she would look at Imam Hussein and see what Imam al-Hussein Hussein is looking at and how he is reacting, and she would react like him. They say Imam Hussein is watching Ali al-Akbar as he entered the battlefield of Karbala. They say the strongest warriors were coming to fight Ali al-Akbar. Ali al-Akbar would strike them, they would fall on the ground. One after the other, Umar ibn Sa'd then sent him one of the strongest warriors in the camp of the enemies of Allah. When this man came to fight Ali al-Akbar, Imam Hussein alayhi salam looked so concerned. Layla looked at his face. She said, "What is happening?" He told her, "Go inside the tent and pray. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bring Ali safe and sound." They say Ali al-Akbar, upon striking that warrior, he came back to his father, Imam Hussein. He was so tired. The shield, the sword, the battlefield had exhausted Ali. They say Ali al-Akbar and his father, they hugged one another. Ali al-Akbar, then Imam al-Hussein told Ali, "Go see your mother in the tent." They say when Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam entered the tent, he saw his mother crying. He sat down. "Ummah, oh mother, don't you want to tell Lady Zahra, I gave my son to defend your son?" They say Ali al-Akbar hugged his mother, and then she said, "Go and fight. Go back to the battlefield. Go back to the battlefield and protect and fight the enemies of Allah and protect the word of Allah." They say Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam entered back into the battlefield. He was fighting the enemies of Allah. They were attacking him from each and every side. They were trying to kill Ali, but they were fighting Hussein. They were fighting Ali. They were not able to capture Ali. So Umar ibn Sa'd, la'natullahi alayhi, told them, "Go and attack him as a group together." They said, they surrounded him with their swords. They started hitting Ali al-Akbar. They struck the horse of Ali. They struck Ali al-Akbar. Ali al-Akbar fell on the horse. He hugged the horse with his hand. He put his hands around the horse's neck. And then, because the horse's eyes were covered with blood, Ali al-Akbar called out, "Aba ya Hussein!" As the horse was heading to the camp of Imam Hussein, but because the horse was drenched with blood, his eyes couldn't see. They say he ended up going to the enemy's camp, where each one of them started striking Ali, hitting Ali. When Ali alayhi salam fell on the grounds of Karbala, he called, "Sayyidi ya Aba Abdillah, Aba ya Hussein." They say Imam al-Hussein, he came after Ali. He fought the way. He cleared the battlefield. But then he came to sit down and see his son Ali al-Akbar on the grounds of Karbala. He took Ali. Ali, he could not even lift Ali. He was gotten to too many faces. Laysa ya Ali then had a smile on his face. His father, Imam Hussein, said, Ali, what are you smiling about? He says, I see my grandmother Zahra. I see my grandfather Ali. I see my grandfather Prophet Muhammad. They're all saying, come, Ali, come. They say, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, with his eyes tearing, Ali alayhi salam looked at his father and he said, Sayyidi, assalamu alayka ya Sayyidi ya Hussein. And his soul departed from his body. When Imam Hussein tried to carry the body, he couldn't. All the young men of the Bani Hashim, they put Ali's body, together and lifted up and took it back to the tent where his mother was looking at him. Bunay Ali, ردتك ما رد الدنيا ولا مال ولا مال. يا علي السلام عليك. اللهم بحق محمد وآل محمد اغفر لنا وارحمنا يا الله. Let us all stand up and move forward and recite, اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة. Everyone, وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. وصلى الله على محمد وآل محمد بحق محمد وآل محمد. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد in the loudest of your voices.
صلى على محمد وآل Zabih-e-Karbal-Shabih-e-Sarwar Zabih-e-Karbal-Shabih-e-Sarwar Our hero, Ali Akbar. In every Ashura, Muharram, for Ummelala, Iza wa Matam.
In every Ashura, Muharram, for Ummelala, Iza wa Matam.
For Ummelala. matam
forum leila is our matam
habibi she yo azim noha
habibi she yo azim noha
yo dastane ali akbar
habibi she yo azim noha yo dastane ali akbar
zabih karbal shabih sarwar
our hero ali akbar
oh can you hala ila illa the call of Akbar by izn Mawla
oh can you hear la ilaha illa the call of Akbar by izn Mawla
the call of Akbar by izn Mawla
the call of Akbar by izn Mawla
reverberating in every era
reverberating in every era
is that azane ali akbar reverberating in every era
is that azane ali akbar
zabih karbal shabih sarwar
oh our hero ali akbar
husain said ya ali taqaddam my beloved shabih khatam
husain said ya ali taqaddam my beloved shabih khatam
oh my beloved shabih khatam
oh my beloved shabih khatam
fida upon you oh ibn zahra
fida upon you oh ibn zahra
hazar jaane ali akbar
fida upon you oh ibn zahra hazar jaane ali akbar
alayka minni salam baba this is the farewell kalam baba
alayka minni salam baba this is the farewell kalam baba
this is the farewell kalam baba
this is the farewell kalam baba
for we are reaching the culmination
for we are reaching the culmination
of intihane ali akbar for we are reaching the culmination of intihane ali akbar zabih karbal shabih sarwar
our hero ali akbar
he is a model and inspiration for every conscience in every nation
he is a model and inspiration for every conscience in every nation
he is a model and inspiration for every conscience in every nation
he is a model and inspiration for every conscience in every nation
for every conscience in every nation
for every conscience in every nation
so come together today to enter
so come together today to enter
the karwane ali akbar so come together today to enter the karwane ali akbar zabih karbal shabih sarwar waawe ro ali akbar zabih karbal shabih sarwar waawe ro ali akbar
ya hussein allahumma